Welcome to the Grace Baptist Church podcast, and thanks for joining us for this episode. Before we begin, please take a moment to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoy this content, please don't hesitate to leave us a five-star review and share this podcast with your friends. We'd like to extend an invitation to you and your family to join us for worship this week at Grace Baptist Church. We'd also love to connect with you online at graceketering.org. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy the episode.
Jude, and we're going to look at the last two verses, or the benediction. Last two verses there of Jude chapter number 1. All right, let's look at this verse together and allow the Lord to speak to our hearts and encourage us this evening as we finish 2022. Can you believe that's the case? Wow, has time ever flown? But I want us to grab this, some really important insight here from the Lord, but he used Jude to pen these things. And so Jude is writing to believers that are really feeling the pressure to cave into the culture, to cave into false teachers, apostates, those that have defected from the faith, and feeling the pressure just to compromise Christian doctrine. And he's writing to them, and he says in verse number 3, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith. I'm writing to you about the common faith, your common salvation, the fact that you all believe that Jesus Christ came and he died for your sins. You've accepted that. I'm writing to you that believe this message, and I want to encourage you to earnestly contend to stand for the faith. And he wraps it all up in verse number 24, and he says this, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Let's read verse number 24 together. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. Not sadness, but exceeding joy. Father, help us tonight as we just look at this passage of Scripture. May you minister to our hearts. You said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Lord, we have burdens, we have stresses, we have things that bother us as we come out of a year and go into a year, and we're asking, Lord, that you'd reset our focus again on you. Help us to set goals as we go into this year to stay focused on you and not the things that are around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So over 2022, did the world become more God-friendly? Did culture become more more warm to the church and the things of the Lord? Not at all. That's nearly a rhetorical question. Did times get better or more perilous? More perilous. We have felt that. Culture is not all of a sudden accepting God's word as absolute truth, is it? No, in fact, we've seen God's word despised a little bit more and pushed out of the public culture a little bit more. And so as Jude writes to these believers who are feeling the same pressure that we are feeling to cave in, to back down, to self-censor. You hear that the word about censoring and self-censoring, all those different things. Certainly in those days they didn't have the communication that we do, but still in that day things have not really changed. The reality is that they were still feeling that pressure to back down, to not stand out from the rest of culture, but to kind of blend in and, you know, not make too much of a ruckus. Don't rock the boat. Don't make waves. You know, compromise this. Look again at verse number 3 of Jude. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, what you all believed together, it was needful, it was necessary, it was essential for me to write unto you and exhort you, to encourage you that you should earnestly, not haphazardly, not casually, but earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints.
I want you to earnestly contend for the gospel. I want you to earnestly contend for Christian doctrine. Don't cave into the pressure. Don't back down. I want you to continue to go forward. And so we see here that Jude is writing to them somewhere around 60 AD, and perhaps some of them were saying, like we hear today, well, don't you know it's 2022? Except back then they wouldn't have been saying, don't you know it's 60 AD, right? We feel like so much has changed since it's not 1950 anymore. Well, for them, it's not 30 AD anymore. It's not when Jesus was walking on earth. We're removed from that. Times have changed. We got to stay up with the times. All the pressures that they were facing like we face today. No doubt they heard, and we'll see this here, no doubt they heard things about, hey, don't you realize we're in the age of grace? Not under the law anymore. We're in the age of grace. Don't be a legalist. And the throwing around of those terms, and you say, well, why do you bring that up? Look at verse number 4. And for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Take the grace of God and use it as a license to live however you please. You know, they had the same exact stuff going on in their day. Nothing has changed. And they're feeling the pressure, and Jude is saying to them, I want you to earnestly contend for the faith. I want you to keep a focus. Nothing's new. Ever since the Garden of Eden, when Satan slithered up into that tree of the knowledge of good and evil and began to question God's word in front of Eve, we have this starting throughout all of human history, the questioning of God's word. Is it true? Is it really something you can depend upon? Is it really something to stick by? Is it really something to be so dogmatic upon? And so nothing is new. However, all throughout Scripture, we have found that God has always called people like you and me to maintain, to cultivate a personal relationship with God that is not dependent on the responses of culture and the responses of others and what others do. He's always calling us to a personal relationship with Him, a personal relationship that is not contingent on what other people do. Let me give a few examples. John 21 and verse number 20, Peter, Jesus is talking at the end of his ministry with his disciples, and he's saying, hey, this is going to happen to them, and Peter, this is what's going to happen to you. This is what awaits you. And he looks over at John. He says, now what's going to happen to John? I mean, what's John's end? What's John's end of life going to look like? And Jesus said something very interesting to him. He said, if I will, he tarry till I come. What is that to you? Follow thou me. What is he saying to Peter? Listen, regardless of what I've called other people to, regardless of what my plan is for other people, you focus on me. You follow me. My call for them is not necessarily my call for you. You follow me. Another example, 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self. What is Timothy to do in the midst of all this? He's pastoring in Ephesus. There's all sorts of chaos going on. And people are loving themselves rather than loving God. And there's factions and so on going on there in Ephesus. Hey, what are you supposed to do with the false teachers that elevate themselves, Timothy? Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Did you see that? Did you see that that news story out of, is it England, of that lady that was simply standing on the street outside of an abortion clinic praying silently, and she was arrested for a thought crime? Thought crime? Right? Isn't this amazing? Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's a reality. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Notice that. Deceiving and being deceived. There's a double deception that goes on. They not only deceive others, but they themselves are deceived. And then it goes on. For Timothy, what is Timothy to do with this? Will go out and contend with every one of them? No, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. Timothy, you develop and you maintain your own relationship and your own obedience to the Word of God and your own desire to follow after Him. So what is Timothy to do? Not be affected by the things around him and the culture around him. He is to continue forward. That's what we're to do. Jude 1 and verse number 20. But ye, beloved, in the face of all this pressure, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. That doesn't mean keep yourself in salvation. No, continue to walk in the Word. If you love me, keep my commandments. Continue in the love of God. So what are we to do in the face of all this pressure to compromise our Christianity, to compromise our doctrine, to lose our footing on the absolute truth of God's Word? Build ourselves up in the most holy faith. Continue in your relationship with the Lord. So as we consider this, God calling us to focus on our own relationship with Him, we should remember this. One of Satan's very devious tools and devious tricks is to get us to focus horizontally and not vertically. And you and I, as people here on this Wednesday night, can do that so easily. Wouldn't you admit that with me? Like, it's so easy to get focused horizontally. Well, what are they doing? Well, I wonder what I should do is in response. You know, what should my actions be because of what they're doing? No. We need to keep a vertical focus. We have to. If Satan can get us focused this way, he can do a lot of havoc in our lives. So the reason we come to this at the end of year is just to say, all right, where do we need to get our focus again? It seems like every time we come together in this room, we talk about where do we need to get our focus again? Back to Jesus. And listen, that'll set up this year very well. And you and I both know that's a daily decision, isn't it? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes life is a little bit like we'd like to think that life's this even keel, this even path, but sometimes our lives represent a little bit more of a roller coaster. All right, we get up, don't feel too much about focusing on Christ, but he brings us back and back to it. We need to focus on Him, get our focus in the right place. So in these final verses, Jude is basically asking the question, okay, so how are we going to get through? How are we going to be secure in the midst of apostasy, in the midst of all this pressure from culture, even pressure from within, pressure from without, pressure from other believers, pressure from the unsaved world, to cave in our doctrine, to cave, to lose our standing on the common faith, the common salvation? How are we going to get through this? How are we going to be sustained? How are we going to go through this safely? And he brings us back to this benediction, verses 24 through 25. He says, it's unto Him. Let's get our focus there. Let's remember Him. It's a really beautiful passage of Scripture as we read through that. Those two verses are very, very beautiful and eloquent. They're wonderful. But let's break this apart. It is Jesus that's going to get us through. We have to have our focus vertically on Him, not horizontally on others. Remember what happened to Peter when he stepped out of the boat, right? You get focused on the circumstances, the waves, the storm, the pressures of life. We start to sink. Our faith begins to wane. Get focused on Him, it makes all the difference in the world. So what should we focus on Him? What does He say in verse number 24? Now unto Him that is, help me, able to keep you from falling. Now don't you like that? He is able to keep you from falling. I want us to remember this, like Jude reminded them, He is able. We need to get focused on that. We need to focus on the fact that He alone is able. He is sufficient to meet the need. Now, we can look to our own self-sufficiency and realize, boy, I run out of strength quick. I run out of emotional strength, spiritual strength, physical strength very, very quick. I run out of mental wit, right? I run out of things, but He does not. He is well able. He is sufficient to meet the task. And He's always in that position. There's never a time where He's not able. And He says, listen, believer, you need to remember this, that He is able to keep you from falling. So in the midst of a culture that's constantly questioning God's Word, constantly pressuring us to step aside from it, you don't really believe. You just watch. In this coming year, how much we've already seen our culture change its view of marriage, which is to be expected, change its view of gender. The gender is on a spectrum, but you watch how much further it's going to go in this next year. And friends, we're going to be constantly pressured to back down on this. Now, we realize our first goal towards this culture is to see them come to Christ, right? not to reform them in order to come to Christ. See, then come to Christ first, right? So does Jesus love every person, no matter what sin they're involved in? Yes, he wants to bring them to himself. They need to come to him in faith. And so he's coming to him in faith is the ultimate answer. But listen, we're going to be pressured a lot more. We've seen this, the whole Respect for Marriage, the Respect for Marriage Act that went through up in the Senate. This was not a respect for marriage as God designed it. It's a respect for marriage as the world is redefining it. But you realize we're going to be pressured more and more. Are we going to stand? Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling. So we need to remember this. This culture is going to constantly call us away from God's word. God is able to give us stability in the present, right now in 2022, in 2023. He is able to give us stability right now to guard us, it says. To guard us, to keep watch over us. I love Psalm 121. Psalm 121 talks to us about the presence of God over Israel. He will not suffer thy foot to be removed. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. And that's our Savior. He is able to keep, to guard us, to keep us from falling. This word falling has the idea to stumble. We all can stumble, and it seems that sometimes we're a little bit more clumsy than others, but we all know what it is to take a fall and to stumble and hurt ourselves. He says here he is able to keep us from falling. Now, mainly he's talking spiritually, to keep us from stumbling. It's really easy to get, when we get our focus down here, to stumble, to trip up, to get confused, to get tripped up. Satan's constantly trying to lay down traps for us. He says Jesus is able to keep us, to guard us from falling. What do we need to do? When we allow our steps to be guided by him, to be guided by his words, the Bible says in the book of Psalms that none of his steps shall slide. There will be stability there. And Jesus is able to give us stability in our present, in our everyday. I need that stability. You need that stability. One author, Wiest, says that the word in the classical writers meant this, sure-footed as a horse that does not stumble. Now, I've never taken a horse ride or a donkey ride through canyons. Anyone done that? Anyone? No one here? No one trusts those things. I don't know if I'd be so trusting of one next to a cliff either. But the idea is here is of a horse that is sure-footed, that's stable. The picture is that Jesus is able to keep us from falling, to give us stability, a stability that's sure, a stability that is as stable as himself. Now, the Bible tells us that we are to take heed to ourselves. He that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. Every single one of us need to be mindful of the reality that you and I are frail and able to fall. And the fact is, as we get closer to the Lord, as we grow in our relationship with him, we become more aware of our own frailties. Paul himself said in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should have become a castaway. So as Paul journeying in his relationship with the Lord, he didn't become more boastful in his own footing. He said, I'm really constantly worried about the fact that I'm preaching to others and I myself could be tripped up. So the reality is, the closer we are to Jesus Christ, the more aware of our own frailties we are. Stability in our lives does not come from jobs. It doesn't come from friends. It doesn't come from relationships. It doesn't come from certainty about the future. It doesn't come from being liked. It does come from one place, Jesus Christ. We sing often of it, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee, right? We sing yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. We sing, a mighty fortress is our God. All these wonderful attributes of our God. Well, these are true. He is willing and able to give us stability in our present. I need that stability, don't you? Don't you know some folks that need that stability? We need to spread this message around. We can trust our Lord who is able to give us stability in the present. So in the midst of a culture, it's constantly questioning everything. Constantly questioning the absolute truth. We need to remember that he is able to give us stability in our present. But he's also able to guarantee us a standing in his presence. Did you notice that? Don't go past that last phrase of verse number 24. Look at it with me. And to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now, none of us, we read about his glory, we imagine his glory, but none of us have seen his glory face to face. We see through a glass darkly, but someday we'll be able to see it face to face. And he's saying, I am guaranteeing you a standing in my glory. I'm guaranteeing you a standing in my presence. And what a beautiful thing that is. I'm going to stand you up there. I'm going to present you there. I'm going to bring you there. What a glorifying thing that is. What a wonderful thing that is. And he says, I'm going to present you faultless, unblemished. Now you and I, we have warts and we have blemishes and we have problems and we have issues. Right? Right? He says, I'm going to present you faultless. Now, I don't know what that even feels like. I know my own frailties. I know my own shortcomings. And he's saying, this is your reality. This is what is ahead for you. I'm going to present you there faultless, blameless, unblemished. What a beautiful thing. Now, Jesus prayed about this. John 17, verse 24. Why don't you turn over there with me? John 17, verse number 24. In his high priestly prayer, Jesus actually prayed this after he prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He prayed about this. John 17, verse number 24. Father, I will, this is my desire, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. I want them to be in my presence. I want them to be with me, with you. I'm going to be joining you at the right hand. I want them to be with me, that they may behold my glory. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And he prayed about this. He's, Lord, this is my desire. I want them to be there with me. Now, he promised, hey, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you myself. He promised that's going to be the reality. But he says here in Jude, he says, this is my guarantee. I'm going to present you faultless. I'm going to present you there unblemished before the presence of my glory with exceeding joy. Now, my mind goes back to Exodus chapter 33. In verse number 22, where Moses was up on the mount, and you remember Moses wanted to see God. And he wanted to be able to see him. No man has seen God and lived, right? Because of his glory. So perfect, so righteous. And God said, Moses, I'm going to pass by you. I'm going to shield your face. I'm going to let you see my hinder parts. I'm going to let you see my backside, as it were, adding human attributes to God. God is a spirit. He doesn't have a backside per se, but he's saying, I'm going to let you see the backside, but you will not be able to see me face to face like that. What an amazing thing. And he says this in verse number, Exodus 33, verse number 23, I will take away my hand and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. But he said in verse number 22 that while my glory passeth by. While my glory passeth by. Something Moses did not get to see, one day you and I will get to see in his presence. He'll present us faultless there, unblemished there. I don't know how to imagine that. Sounds pretty good to me. Sounds pretty pure. Sounds wonderful. This is Jesus' goal for us. Ephesians 1 and verse 4, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is his goal for you. This is what we're working towards. All of time right now is working towards believers are going there. This is the guarantee. You will have a standing. We talk about court systems and, you know, hearing about, do I have a standing there or do I not have a standing there? Jesus is guaranteeing you and I a standing in his presence before his glory, faultless, without blame. And that's why I noted that the verse of the song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. It says, oh, what a standing is mine. Now, the fact is, you and I, this standing is our reality. This is our position. It is guaranteed. You believed on Jesus Christ, it is guaranteed. This is what we look forward to. We haven't realized it yet, but it is our standing. It is assured to us. And so Philippians 1:6, if you know it, quote it with me, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is promising that we will be glorified. We will stand before him unblemished. But I want us to notice this. He says, with great joy, with great joy. Jesus is not going to be ashamed of us in that moment. He's not going to present you to the Father and like, oh man, this Mike guy. No, it's going to be with exceeding joy. It's going to be wonderful. He's not, that's amazing. You and I know ourselves. We don't deserve this. But he says, I'm going to do this with exceeding joy. But there's two sides to this joy. You're going to be there with joy, and he's going to be there with joy. Now, Hebrews 12:2 says he went to the cross for the joy. He endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy that was set before him. Right? And there was a joy on his part. I'm going to be able to bring many to heaven. Through my sacrifice, I'm going to be able to present you there. But you know, the Bible says in 1 Peter, it talks about our joy, 1 Peter 1 and verse number 8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye have not seen him, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You will have joy in that day. The joy will be, how did I get here? How is this the case? How did God take sinful me and make me blameless and set me before his glory and allow me to see this? And forever and all of eternity will revel in the wonder of God's love. And so Jude is saying, this is his guarantee. He's going to put you there. He's going to put you there. What a wonderful, wonderful thing this is. He is able to give you stability. Right now, he's able to guarantee you a standing in his presence in the future. This is our reality that is coming. But notice in verse number 25, he is worthy. He is worthy. He's worthy of our acknowledgement. You see there in verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior. Now, have you stopped and acknowledged who God is to you today? It says here, the only wise God. The only source of wisdom. God alone is wise. I'm not wise. You're not wise. But God is wise. Now, the wisdom that we can have is from him. The only wisdom we can say we have is his wisdom. James 1:5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You and I can be wise, but it's his wisdom. But he alone is the source of wisdom. And so Jude says, hey, to the only wise God, the only one who has wisdom. It was Wiersbe that said the false teachers boasted of their special knowledge, but they lack spiritual wisdom. God gives wisdom to those who ask him, provided they are sincerely willing to obey him. If Christians would seek the wisdom of God in the Word of God, they would not stumble into the traps of the false teachers, but would walk to please the Lord, according to Colossians 1 and verse number 10. And so it is his wisdom that we need, but he is the only wise God. Now the false teachers in that day and today will always boast of their own knowledge. They will always promote their own knowledge, their own experience. But you and I, we know that our wisdom truly only comes from God. He alone is wise, and he is worthy of our acknowledgement of that. He's worthy of our acknowledgement that he is our Savior. That he is our Savior. Now notice, he says our Savior, not a Savior, our Savior. Remember back in verse number 3, he talks, I'm talking to you of this common faith. It's common faith. We all have Jesus in common. And so he's saying, I want us to recognize and acknowledge the fact that he is our Savior. There's a big difference between a Savior, the Savior, and my Savior. And I know I'm talking tonight to believers, and I'm grateful for that. Boy, isn't it a wonderful difference between before Jesus Christ and after Jesus Christ when he became my Savior, our Savior. This is what we have in common. And he's worthy of our acknowledgement of that. He's worthy of us saying, thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. I acknowledge that you are my Savior, and this is what we have in common. Notice in Ephesians 3 and verse number 14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom, Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Just remember that we as a church family have this in common. He is our Savior, and he's worthy of our acknowledgement of that on a regular basis in our prayers, in our greetings to one another, in our conversations to one another. So we should acknowledge afresh, even tonight, thank you, Lord, for being the only wise God. Thank you, Lord, for being our Savior. You are wisdom. You are wisdom. And the Bible says that Christ is our wisdom. Proverbs, Jesus is personified as wisdom. You are our wisdom. Without you, I have none. You are our Savior. You're my Savior. Without you, I'm truly undone. So God's worthy of our acknowledgement. God's worthy of our adoration. We sing the song, O Come All Ye Faithful. The chorus goes, O come, let us adore him. Let us adore him. You see what Jude does here under inspiration of Scripture? He writes down this list of adorations to the Lord. Look at it with me just briefly. To him, to the only wise God, to our Savior, be glory. Be a state of high honor. Let's exalt him for who he is. He's worthy of our honor. Let's lift him up. Let's declare his glory among the brethren. Declare his glory among the heathen. He is worthy. To him be glory. To him be majesty. We think of royalty and majesty, and there's coronations that are coming up over in England. We've seen some of those royal majestic scenes as they put a king in place. We see all that, but to him be majesty, much greater than any earthly king. To him be majesty. What is that? Awe and reverence. Bible talks about in the context of the church, let all things be done decently and in order. There's order that needs to be had, but with royal decorum, it talks about. With awe and reverence, worthy of our Lord. To him be majesty. To him be dominion. Notice these couplets. To him be glory and majesty and dominion and power. Dominion is the idea of controlling power. Is God sovereign? Yes, he is. Does he ultimately have control of all things? Yes, he does. We should acknowledge that. We should adore him for that. Sometimes it's not as easy to adore him for that or to be in a state of worship for that because we think everything's fallen out of control. But it's not. Listen, if I would adore him for his controlling power, it'd be a lot easier to look at some of this stuff. Ephesians 6:10, the word is used here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, in his controlling power. Power that is irresistible, a power that is strong. Power that is able to direct, to govern, to determine. That's the type of power that we ought to be strong in. But notice this other word here in verse number 25. To him be power, this ruling authority, the authority over a domain, a sphere of influence pertaining to political, religious spheres. And so we ought to adore him for the power that he has over all things. Now, he's delegated some power or allowed some power. Satan is the prince and the prince and the ruler of the air, is he not? But that's all delegated. We see in the book of Job, that's all delegated, or allowed power, I should say. He ultimately is in control of all things. Praise the Lord for that. Matthew 7, verse number 29, this word is used there. For he taught as one having authority, ruling authority, and not as the scribes. The people stepped back and wondered, like, Jesus spoke like he was in charge. Because he is. Because he is. And just remember, every time we read the Word of God, the reason our world resists the Word of God so much is because it has power. It has ruling authority. It declares something they don't like. But nonetheless, it declares the power that he has. And this is to be given to him. This adoration is to be given to him now, right now, through us. The world isn't clamoring to give him this adoration. We're to give it to him everywhere we go. We're to give it through our lives, through our lips. We're to give it everywhere we go. But notice it says, and forever, throughout all ages, in every age. And you know what? Whether he comes tomorrow, 10 years from now, we're to be giving him this adoration. And throughout all of eternal ages, we're to be giving this adoration. We will, forever and ever. And I remember what is said in Revelation 4 and verse 11. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. And we have scenes in heaven that were given in the book of Revelation where everyone is together giving praise to him, giving adoration to him throughout all ages. And Jude says, hey, listen, you that are pressured, you that are feeling culture squeeze in on you, you that are hearing the questioning of God's word, you that are being asked to sway on your beliefs and compromise your beliefs and to dilute the power of the word and not really take a stand in your day, it's to you I'm saying, listen, let's remember Jesus is able to keep you from falling. He's able to give you stability. He's able to guarantee your standing there in his presence with exceeding joy. He's worthy of you to acknowledge who he is. He's worthy of your adoration, yes, in this day. So the believers were encouraged then, and I trust that we're encouraged now, to fix our attention on him. Not horizontal, vertical. And friends, you and I have the potential of being able to help others within our church family, family members, other believers, maybe you know at work, to keep that type of focus. Let's make sure that we have it, and let's make sure that we include others around us and encourage them in that same way. And the Bible does talk to us about that in Hebrews chapter number 12. We're to be looking unto him, the author and finisher of our faith. And if we'll do that, we'll certainly be a help to others in that way. Listen, we at Grace, we here as a church family, Grace Baptist Church, need to keep this focus. So easy to get focused this way. Whether within or without, so easy to get focused this way. Oh, that the Lord would help us to finish out this year focused this way. And I pray that for you, and I hope that you pray that for me as well. And so let's just take a moment here tonight and ask the Lord to help us with that. Commit that to him. It helps me to know that in Jude's day, nearly 2,000 years ago, they were struggling with that. And it's the same thing that we struggle with today. The Bible certainly is relevant. And so let's just take some moments to pray here. Lord, help me not to look to the side, to the left, to the right. Help me to look up to you in the way that Jude encouraged them. Take a moment and pray.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To learn more about Grace Baptist or how to have eternal life, visit gracekettering.org. And remember, you are always welcome at Grace Baptist Church.